In the check-in earlier, I heard many of you with the inspiration to have more of an integrated kind of practice, more of a sense of engagement and curiosity about that. So I'm delighted to hear that curiosity. I think this is one of the great gifts of our current situation with the coronavirus kind of keeping us from meeting together in our cruise ship of a retreat container. that we have created this new form, and we are, you know, creating it together. It is really quite an amazing thing that we're discovering what it means to practice in this form, and it seems very powerful for people to be having these reminders, very intimate, intense connection with the practice over a course of many days in your own living situation, in your own place. Having to prepare your own meals, having to do all of the things to take care of yourself, that many of which are much easier on residential retreat. I find for myself when I do self-retreat, there's a number of hours a day of preparing meals and cleaning up after myself. It's like, you know, at least 3 or 4 hours a day of that, it seems, you know, and eating. So that whole process is part of our retreat now. And some of you did mention more seclusion, and that's fine. I mean, one of the great things about this style of practice, as most of you know and are very familiar with, is the instructions that we explore for this style of practice inspired by Sayadaw Utejaniya. It's the same instructions whether we're practicing in daily life or in deep retreat. Same instructions. It's different objects that we experience depending on the conditions. We sometimes in our daily lives, we're experiencing more, ordinary kinds of experiences, having conversations or cleaning the sink or washing the dishes, you know, just the very ordinariness of our lives. Having conversations with partners or with friends or people that we live with or people on the street. All of those activities, it's the same practice that we do, just recognizing, remembering that you're aware in a relaxed way and receiving what's here. Being aware both internally, what's happening internally, and externally, what's going on outside of us. This blend of aware of what's happening in the world and how it's affecting us. And then in sitting practice, in the formal practice, the experiences may be, and as we go through the retreat, the more we settle and stabilize in mindfulness as we go through the retreat, the more concentration develops, the more stability of mindfulness develops, there's more concentration. Not one-pointed concentration necessarily, but the concentration of moment-to-moment awareness. And that moment-to-moment concentration can penetrate very deeply into our moment-to-moment arising of our experience in our sitting and walking practice. It actually can do this in our daily life practice as well. I've seen it happen where I'm in the midst of something and there's a sudden recognition of intention and the movement of that intention of propelling the mind in a particular direction. It's possible in the midst of ordinary activity for that to happen as well with the continuity. But there's also this kind of way that this continuity of mindfulness can shift between levels of experience. So the as the mindfulness gets continuous, it's not like the mindfulness is less continuous in our daily activities. It may just shift to a different level of perception, a different level of recognition, recognizing more ordinary things. Walking through the neighborhood, you know, if you're going outside and taking a walk, you're probably not going to just be seeing things in pixelated form and color. If that's what's happening, I'd suggest you stop, because you might, like, you know, walk into a tree or not notice that there's a car coming or something. You know, we need to have this more ordinary kind of awareness. But the continuity of awareness can kind of shift between different levels of perception. Ordinary perception, kind of ordinary kind of awareness, and then also into the more, you know, moment to moment, very rapidly changing experience, in perhaps in the more still sittings or a more concentrated period of walking when you're not outside. So this kind of mindfulness that can shift levels, I find this form of practice is very supportive in creating a stabilized kind of mindfulness that's very malleable, that's able to shift levels of perception, levels of attention very quickly. And so I feel that this piece is, in fact, in this form of the online retreat where you're all at home and you're more normal lives, this is actually one of the great gifts, is cultivating and exploring the malleability of mind that can come. And this form of practice, which is more receptive rather than directed, so we're not trying to aim at a particular object of experience and hold to it, we're settling back, recognizing, am I aware? What's obvious? That that exploration of just what's obvious moment after moment leads to a kind of established mindfulness that doesn't have to change when it shifts from ordinary awareness into kind of the deeper levels of seeing at a more moment-to-moment level, more almost particle-like basis, or just little finely grained experience. We don't have to change how we're practicing. It's mostly just like the perception of the objects shift from ordinary into more subtle kinds of objects. And this shift can happen like that. The shift can happen in a moment. It doesn't actually take that long. If we've been, for instance, having a conversation with a partner, putting, you know, dishes away and kind of rushing because we've got something coming up, it's like we can be aware of that. And if we have that continuity of awareness while we are engaged in our ordinary everyday activities, it doesn't take that long. It doesn't have to take that long for the mindfulness to settle very quickly when we come into a formal practice again. This was one of the things I really discovered at Shui U Min when I was practicing with Sayadaw Utejin Nia, the malleability of the mind, that it could, you know, be in conversation at Shui U Min. We you know, weren't told that we had to stay in silence all the time. In fact, we were encouraged to practice mindfulness while speaking. And I found that, you know, having a conversation with somebody, that when I went back to my room to practice my still posture, that as long as I just kind of recognize there is some different energy, right? There's different energy that happens with that rapidity of engagement, the conversation. There's maybe more mental energy, more physical energy. And so it's not immediately, quote, still in that kind of physical way. But the mind can just kind of orient to, oh, this is what it's like having been doing that. having been engaged in conversation, when I sit down, there's images that come about the conversation, the thought, the mind replays some of those thoughts. You don't have to try to stop that. Just kind of notice, oh, this is the consequences of having done that. And the energy in the body, feel that. And I've seen that it can settle very, very quickly from ordinary conversation level into very deep, settled, concentrated mindfulness. Very quickly. And so I think this could be kind of almost a theme to hold in your mind for this week, these 10 days. Malleability of mind. Several of you mentioned that in the check-in, this notion of receiving whatever's here, willing to kind of go with that flow, that up and down. But be on the lookout for any beliefs that having, you know, been doing something in a particular way means that the mind can't settle when you move back into meditation. Those beliefs are often what get in the way of the settling, not anything inherent. It's like the mind, having come back from a conversation, sitting down in meditation, you know, kind of aiming for, wanting it to be quiet instead of wanting the mind to be really still immediately, instead of noticing that it can take time for the mind to kind of go through its process. In a continuity of mindfulness, we can see that mind go through its process. And in that, not resisting it and not, you know, kind of leaping out and having thoughts come up like, oh, I shouldn't have talked so quickly, or I shouldn't have talked for so long. Okay, I'm going to kind of settle. Oh, I shouldn't have talked. It's that kind of movement that is keeping the mind from settling. So malleability is this mind is so malleable. It's so easy, so flexible to shift between different levels of experience. So malleability is a big part of this time this week. What we'll start with in this week is really just this establishment of mindfulness. Setting our intention to cultivate mindfulness moment after moment. As we move in the direction of moment after moment mindfulness, that's where the power of the mindfulness becomes revealed. The continuity of mindfulness is where concentration plays out. Where concentration supports us in the practice. Not a stabilizing of the mind on a particular object, but moment after moment, just being aware and knowing what's happening in the present moment. And so we explore establishing mindfulness with some ease in the mind. Some of you mentioned kind of an interest in light touch of kind of checking in, am I working too hard? And that's an important piece in this particular style of practice. The establishment of mindfulness, kind of the way that we establish mindfulness, needs to be infused with that ease. And that establishment establishes mindfulness with ease, as if we practice the mindfulness with the intention of ease, it begins to establish more of an easeful mindfulness. And so relaxation is a place to begin that supports the ease. You relax the body, relax the mind, and then begin to recognize that we're aware. Just simple recognition. Are you aware? Perhaps recognizing a that you're already aware. Not a sense of having to do the awareness, but more of a recognition of what's already happening. Already aware. And what is that awareness aware of? What is obvious? Receiving, a sense of receiving what is already available to awareness. We're not trying to look for something to be aware of. There's something already here. It may or may not be clear. Sometimes the mindfulness is, we know that we're aware. It's clear that we know that we're aware, but it's not so clear exactly what the experience is that we're aware of. That's okay. That can happen. You don't have to like go thrashing around to try to figure out what awareness is aware of in that moment. Just kind of stick with the awareness at that point. It's like, aware? Yes, I know that I'm aware. What's obvious? Not sure. Well, okay, but I know I'm aware. At some point, what is obvious will kind of come in. You know, maybe a sound will come and it'll be, oh yeah, now I know that the mind is oriented towards that sound. Or a feeling in the body or a thought or an emotion will kind of orient the attention. We are not trying to orient or aim the attention. What's more, we are trying to explore following the attention. The attention will be on something at a particular time. And sometimes because we're not so familiar with all the different kinds of things that attention likes to be curious about, we may not be able to kind of recognize where that attention is. And that's okay. You can just recognize, well, I know that I'm aware. And when the attention does land on something that's clear, then you can know that, take that in. We'll talk more about this kind of aspect of attention and the kind of the sometimes the attention landing on things that we're not so familiar with. We'll talk about that more during the week. And so for now, if there's something, if it doesn't feel like, I mean, one of the common experiences that can happen is we know that we're aware, and we are aware of like sound happening around us and body sensations, but it doesn't really feel like that's where the attention is. It's like it's almost like it's attending to something else and we're not really sure what that is. Sometimes that's a state of mind that the mind can be attending to in that moment. But again, just recognizing awareness and receiving experience. The receptive mode can help the level of effort be light. Receiving experience, the mode of receiving, it doesn't take work to hear a sound if we're just kind of receiving experience. It's like that the body, the mind does this work of receiving experience. There's a little bit of effort that's needed to kind of attune to what's here. But we don't have to do the find something to pay attention to. So settle back. It can sometimes feel like, rather than being the driver in a car, you're in the passenger seat, and you can just sit there. You don't have to pay attention to everything around you and organize and drive and like steer around things and remember where to turn. You just get to watch the scenery go by in this, when you're in the passenger seat. And so exploring that perspective. And the scenery going by in this situation, this experience, is our conditioning unfolding. We are watching our lives play out based on our conditions, based on the history that we've grown up with, based on what's happening in this moment. So we are quite literally watching our conditioning unfold in this receptive mode of practice. We see as the conditioning unfolds, we begin to see where the mind kind of gets caught and pulled into habits and patterns that tend to create tension and stress. And we also tend to see, we can see where the mind, how the mind kind of orients towards awareness, presence, compassion, love, the wholesome qualities, and how those support the mind to let go of the tension. And so we see the conditionings and what conditions tend to lead us towards stress, suffering, and what conditions tend to lead us towards happiness, ease, peace, release. When conditions are unfolding that are in the terrain of stress, of suffering, the condition of attuning to them, curiosity about them, creates a container in which we can witness that conditioning unfold without reinforcing it. We get to see it play out and get to see some of its effects, sometimes feel the suffering of it, but holding it in that container of awareness with curiosity. What is this experience that's happening right now? That's really the perspective that we explore with mindfulness. There's something arising right now. What's that experience that's arising? Rather than there's something arising, what do I need to do about it? Oh, what is it? So aware of experience as experience. When we're aware of habits and patterns of greed or aversion or confusion, with that curiosity, what is this experience of frustration arising in this moment? That creates a container in which the mindfulness and the wisdom that are present are kind of the stronger conditioning forces in the mind at that point, instead of the frustration being the stronger conditioning force. Now we get to still feel the impact of that frustration. It doesn't necessarily mean it goes poof when we're aware of it. And so the perspective of how we receive experience is important. This curiosity, What is the experience in the present moment? Aware of experience in the present moment as experience in the present moment. And perhaps remembering malleability, that what's coming up in the present moment, this too, the mind can meet. The mind can be malleable to meet whatever's arising. Our purpose in establishing mindfulness with this perspective of curiosity is to understand how suffering is created and how suffering is released, the conditions there. Conditions that catch us and the conditions that free us. So we do get to experience suffering in this process. That's not a mistake. It's part of how the learning happens. And if there can be that curiosity, that perspective of, oh, this is the suffering that's happening in this moment. Sometimes I even find that, just like that's that kind of framing in my mind. Oh, right, this is suffering. Just that recognition, this is suffering. Kind of orients me right to the Buddhist teaching, the First Noble Truth. This is suffering. And suffering should be understood. That was the Buddha's instruction to us about suffering. Not we need to do everything we can to fix it, to get rid of it, but understand it. Understanding it through wise mindfulness. And so we cultivate the continuity, recognizing that you're aware, receiving experience, light touch, just enough to be with this moment. It's another way we can over effort at times, is by trying to hold on to mindfulness for a stretch of time, as opposed to kind of being aware that you're mindful and curious about, well, how long is this moment of mindfulness lasting, and when do I need to remind myself to be aware again? Just enough effort to be aware for this moment of experience, and then do it again, and then again. As the mindfulness gets established, as there's more continuity, it's kind of like each moment that we notice, yes, I'm aware. It's like it, instead of having a little short blip of, oh, I'm aware, and then needing to do it again, over time it's more like those moments of mindfulness, they kind of linger for a little longer. It's like a little burst of being aware for a little stretch of time. And so part of our light touch of practice is getting familiar with that experience of being aware and recognizing when it starts to kind of get a little wobbly or weaken a little bit, and then reminding yourself again, kind of how frequently we remind ourselves to be aware. That's the effort in this practice. And it's different depending on the conditions. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves more frequently. Remember to be aware. Yeah, awareness is here. And sometimes as we kind of get the sense that there's more continuity of mindfulness, the feeling, the experience of the establishment of mindfulness, we get a sense of that experience, what that is like. Then we know we don't have to remind ourselves as frequently. We get a sense of what it's like for that kind of stability of the mindfulness, that establishment of mindfulness to begin to weaken. It's like, oh, okay, now I need to connect again. All right, aware. And then we also need to check in for our attitude, our relationship to experience. How are we with experience? There can be attitudes, agendas, relationships to experience that are so habitual that we don't really notice them so clearly. It can kind of be driving our way of being mindful. And so it's useful to check in. How am I in relationship to experience? This could be a question in the mind. Not to try to figure it out, but just kind of dropping it in and seeing how does the mind respond. The orientation of a question. Sayadaw sometimes says that when we ask our mind a question, we don't have to figure it out. Our mind will naturally kind of work with it. And so we don't have to do it. So checking in, what is the attitude? What's the relationship to experience? Sometimes those attitudes are connected with what's happening externally, or what's happening, kind of what the objects are. It might be that there's a pain in the body that's arising, and the attitude is obviously, I don't like that pain, so that's one form of attitude. Kind of those are maybe the more obvious kinds of attitudes that are there, kind of easier to see. Another kind of attitude that can come into play is attitudes, agendas related to the meditation. So we might have the idea, for instance, if something happens and there's a judgment that arises, that judgment isn't supposed to arise during meditation. Or certain kinds of objects, like maybe at times it might feel like the attention is really dynamically shifting from object to object very quickly, and we have the idea that the mindfulness over, if I've been meditating for half an hour, the mindfulness should land and gravitate towards one thing. And so we can have agendas in our meditation, ideas about what's supposed to be happening that can create attitudes in the mind. This is kind of more in the realm of belief, of delusion, attitudes connected with delusion, the kind of what is our agenda? And so sometimes that can be the way the attitude is expressed, some kind of belief about what's supposed to be happening. Checking the attitude can show, there's attitudes connected with greed, attitudes connected with aversion, attitudes connected with delusion, confusion, beliefs may not express itself. Beliefs can simply be felt or experienced as, well, this is just the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't necessarily feel like greed or aversion. But it's influencing how we relate to things. And that belief is, often these beliefs are simply beliefs, and they're just not seen as being an arising in the mind. So not necessarily felt as greed or aversion. This is seeing into delusion, noticing those beliefs. Another form of attitude is wise attitude. There are times when we kind of check what's the relationship to experience, and it's like, well, it seems okay. There's no problem. That's a great time. If it feels like, yeah, no problem, that's a great time to just take in what's the flavor for you in that moment of the mind being okay. It can have so many different qualities. It might have the quality of simple, like no problem, or it's okay, or calm, or ease, or peace. Or it might feel like curiosity and interest, or it might feel like tranquility, or it might feel like love or compassion or joy. Many flavors that can be there, and that's the terrain of wholesome states of mind. And so if you check into the attitude, sometimes I found, you know, I would be meditating along and like, it was, everything was fine, but I wasn't noticing the wholesome qualities that were in the mind. So this allows us in checking in to the attitude, if and when we notice the okayness. You don't have to go trying to create joy or compassion there, but just see what's there. What's the flavor in the mind when things feel okay? So we'll take the last 15 minutes or so here to sit together, mostly in silence, but I will just offer some brief reminders of these instructions in the practice. Remembering relaxation. We're establishing mindfulness with ease, and relaxation supports ease. And so allowing the body to relax, checking in, seeing if there's places where there's tension being held, and seeing if there can be a softening. Maybe particularly seeing if the face can be relaxed, and the shoulders, the rib cage. The hips. Arms, hands, legs, feet. And then I often find a powerful exploration is exploring inside. Perhaps the inside of the throat can soften and relax. Maybe the heart, the area around the heart can relax. The stomach and the intestines. Maybe there can be a softening inside in that whole visceral area. The stomach and the intestines can relax. And perhaps too, the mind can relax, letting go of mental tension, thoughts, worries, concerns. Maybe we can just release some of the kind of energy around that, relaxing the mind. As the body and mind relax, one of the most natural things to happen as the body and mind relax is that this system will be aware of what's here. And so, are you aware? Maybe recognizing that you're already aware. Taking in that sense of being aware. And what is obvious? Receiving experience. It may feel like in receiving experience that the attention kind of flows from one experience to another. Might feel like it jumps from one experience to another. Might land on something for a little while and hang out there. Might be an experience of broad sense of experience or very precise experience. Allowing awareness to receive as it wishes to. With just enough effort for this moment. And this moment. Are you aware? What is obvious? Of course, the mind will wander. It'll either kind of drift out through kind of a sense of not quite having enough energy to stay connected, or it might charge out if something arises that's activating. In either case, at some point you will recognize that the mind has been wandering, that essentially mindfulness returns. In that moment, the first thing to do is to recognize mindfulness is back. That quality of awareness, the sense of being present, awareness is back. And what's being received in that awareness? If the mind has been charging out of the present moment, what's being received is probably connected to that charging. That's okay. Can you be with that? If there's a lot of tension that's crept in that moment, it can be helpful to reorient, to relax the body, relax the mind, to support the capacity to be with that experience. Not to try to change it or get rid of it, but to support the mind to be with it. If the mind has done a more drifty thing, sometimes we can find that when the mindfulness returns, if we orient immediately to, oh, awareness is back, and what's here, maybe connected to that kind of spaciousness, or sometimes after the mind has wandered, there can be more ease and relaxation that's available. If we're not judging, having that agenda to judge the mindfulness, mind for having wandered, but just taking in, oh, the mindfulness is back. And there's a spacious quality of the mind, or an easeful, calm, relaxed quality of the mind. And that actually can happen more than you might think. Are you aware? What is obvious? And from time to time, checking in, how are you in relationship to what's happening? What's the attitude? It can be helpful to just do that occasionally, and a good time to do it is if there's any sense of struggle in the meditation. Can also be helpful if it feels like it's going really well, if it feels very easeful. Again, to notice the qualities in the mind that support that ease. Relax. Are you aware? What is obvious?